Mainstream Mental Health Radio with Dr. John Huber.
What do you think you are, crazy or something? Well, you're not.
We're on a mission from God.
News, issues revolving around mental health.
Dr. John Huber, a mental health professional for over 20 years, the chairman for Mainstream Mental Health, a clinical forensic psychologist, and a psychology professor at Texas State University. Breaking the silence of mental health, one day at a time, discussing the human condition, providing a sounding board for mental health issues, and making mental health mainstream.
You got a gift, my friend.
Now it's time for Mainstream Mental Health Radio.
Let the healing begin.
With Dr. John Huber.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mainstream Mental Health Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. John Huber. Thank you very much for listening. We really do appreciate it here. We have another amazing show for you today. Remember, check out our website at mainstreammentalhealth.org. Let your friends know about our show. You can listen to us on iTunes, at Blog Talk Radio, Mainstream Mental Health. Wow, man, there's been a lot of stuff going on. Last week we had a traumatic event with the shooting of the Republican whip. And since then, there's been a lot of talk and actually some polls done. In fact, CBS News did a poll. And they actually found out that 75% of Americans today feel like the current state of politics actually encourages violence. And there's a lot to support that. I mean, when we have politicians jumping back and saying, hey, you know, there needs to be blood on the street. Politicians calling for blood on the street. I thought the reason why they got into politics was so they could sit down and talk and work things out that way. If they wanted to start riots, why didn't they just stay in their hometown and get a posse together and start stirring stuff up? Anyway, according to this new CBS poll, Americans of all political leanings, not just left or not just right, they overwhelmingly say that the tone and level of civility in our political debates has been getting worse in recent years. These reviews are largely the same across all ideologies as well. And about two-thirds of liberals, conservatives, and even more moderates feel that things have gotten worse. So three-quarters of America in general feel the current tone of politics and the debate is encouraging violence among some people. And you have to worry about that. We sit back and as a psychologist in my practice here in Central Texas, we do risk assessment for some counties around here in the Sheriff's Department have us come out and look at some of their inmates that they're thinking about going and doing parole or probation with these individuals. And, you know, we have to look at the whole picture. So we don't just look at one aspect of their life. It's pretty interesting to find out that the shooter, for example, in the Republican baseball game last week was actually someone who'd used violence with kids. He was a foster parent and had several violence charges pressed against him. They were eventually dropped. In addition, he had situations where he was brought up with gun charges because he'd used guns to threaten people, shooting next to individuals. And as it turned out, those charges were eventually dropped. But then you add it with everything else, and the fact that he felt personally harmed by the current situation. And I think and agree with this study, with the tone of the media and the tone of our politicians today, I think it lit the fire for him to go and actually physically do something. And it's a big, big, serious issue we have to worry about. Now, with that, you know, we're always looking for new treatments, new outcomes. It's interesting. We've had several guests on our show talking about using different types of recreational drugs, psilocybin mushrooms, ecstasy to treat different things. And it's nice to see a new treatment that they're trying to work out with that uses something other than putting a substance into your body. Now, for a long time, we've had this new treatment called transcranial magnetic stimulation, and I call it new. And they're having some success with it. It's kind of like when we think of electroconvulsive therapy, we send an electrical current through the brain and it resets the brain. It kind of reboots everything. With the transcranial magnetic stimulation, what they're trying to do is focus in specifically using beams of magnetic waves. They focus these and cross them in certain centers of the brain and just kind of reboot that little bitty section. The problem with it is this is very, very expensive to get into, and it's not portable. You have to go into a clinic for treatment. The machines themselves, again, are a huge investment. So there's not a lot of support for that. Now, there's a new company coming out of South Korea called Y-Brain, and their CEO has looked at this whole situation and came up with a new treatment, and it's called TDCS. It's transcranial. I'm going to say this wrong, I bet. It's transcranial direct current stimulation. Now, the whole idea is they're sending micro amps of electricity, very focused, very targeted, through your brain, but from a portable headband. Now, it's kind of taken the best of both worlds. It's taking the electroconvulsive idea, let's use electricity, and then it's taking the targeting idea from the magnetic transcranial stimulation and putting it in an inexpensive headband. And the research on it is sounding very promising. So far, you know, it's a startup company. They've raised over $9 million, and it's very portable. It's inexpensive. Again, you can pick it up and own it yourself. The suggestions are at this time that recommends a daily treatment once a day for 2 weeks, and then you start moving out and having limited treatments after that. But because it's all electric and program exactly how much electricity, and we're talking milliamps here, per session you get, and you can't go in and train it. So it's very difficult for individuals to manipulate that. And it's a great idea. I want to see more direct research on it. And it's got a lot of hopeful potential for it. I mean, because most of us don't want to be taking medications anyway. So if all of a sudden we can take this and just run a little bit of a sweatband looking thing on our head and push a button, and our doctor's programmed it, and we just walk around with it for 20 minutes or go lay down, take a nap, and then you're done, and it actually helps depression, then I'm all for this. I want to see the research on it. You know, we want to make sure that we're not out there harming anybody. We want our patients to leave our facility better than they were when they got there, and we don't want them to leave worse. So we want to make sure what we're doing is well-researched and prepared. So I want to remind everybody now, you're listening to Mainstream Mental Health Radio Show. My name is Dr. John Huber. And it's interesting. This story I like it today. I did a presentation for Upward Bound at my university today, and we talked about anxiety and everything from, you know, panic attack to phobias to generalized anxiety disorder and obsessive compulsive disorder. And it was a really good presentation. We had lots of interactions. The people that were in attendance asking great questions. And the one thing I didn't talk about was something that came out in a new study. It says 10 things you should never say to someone suffering from anxiety. Of course, with any mental health thing, there are certain things we don't want to say. One of them being the top on this list, get over it. You never want to say that to somebody. If they could get over it, they already would have. Another one is you're going to make yourself sick. Maybe you should stop thinking so much. Maybe you just need a drink. That's right. Let's encourage alcoholism today in our society. Stop stressing. Don't stress over anything. Relax. And, of course, the next one is just relax. Or, hey, I'm stressed out too. You don't see me freaking out. One of the old adages that I remember, you know, coaches and stuff telling, don't sweat the small stuff. Or, you know, friends and parents, oh, a lot of people have it so much worse than you do. Don't say that to someone who's suffering from a mental health disorder in general. And then the last one is you're making your own problems. Well, that all is pretty amazing. And I think that as we look at anxiety and depression and more of the more commonplace mental health disorders, because we all kind of experience some of them, we oftentimes feel like we have some sort of understanding. And we do have some understanding. The problem is when it's clinically severe, unless you've actually experienced it, there's not much you can do in that kind of situation. And it's problematic. All right. Well, I want to move on now. We are listening to Mainstream Mental Health Radio Show. My name is Dr. John Huber. Today we have an exciting guest, Dr. Andrea Brandt. She is a PhD, and we've been talking about anger. We've been talking about it in the media, in politics, and she's kind of a specialist in this. You know, we have to ask, why are millions of Americans so angry today, and what can they do to calm down? What can they do to be at peace? And joining us today is Andrea Brandt, PhD. She's a marriage and family therapist located in Santa Monica, California. She brings over 35 years of clinical experience to the role of individual family therapist, couples counseling, group therapy, and anger management classes. She has a book, 8 Keys to Eliminating Passive Aggressiveness. And in that book, she examines strategies for overcoming a common yet debilitating response mechanism. Then her second book, Mindful Anger, is a pathway to emotional freedom. Dr. Brandt explores methods to better understand and manage the powerful emotion of anger. Well, Dr. Brandt, welcome to our show.
Well, it's good to be here, John. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. How are you in California? Is the weather well?
Well, where I am, it is. It's only in the late 70s, early 80s, but other parts of California are sweltering.
Yeah, well, that's what we're doing today. They said the heat index is going to be around 100, so.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that could be dangerous, especially if you're angry.
That was what I was going to say. So what do you think's going on with all this media attention and politicians, you know, debating and inciting things and saying silly things like there needs to be blood in the streets and, you know, what's going on?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I'm not sure people trusted politicians before this election. And there's just been so much that's made people angry, and things that were said that were promised that haven't been followed through on, and all kinds of, things that are not true, untruths, and conspiracy theories and all kinds of things that people are constantly in a state of who to believe and what can we do, and they think in some way like they've got some sense of control if they're watching it, and it's not giving them any sense of control because it's just making them more angry. And I think that people need to do some really deep breathing and put their focus and their energy in a positive cause that comes out of this election that they can really get into. But, you know, making yourself angry over what someone says or does or is not going to help anybody.
Well, and I think it's also, you know, kind of giving up your right to control how you want to be.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And they, yeah, and they need to, they need to limit the amount of time that they focus on this stuff, that they watch it. The more you watch it, the more riled up you're going to get, the more angry.
Definitely. Definitely.
And the more helpless you feel.
Right. Now, do you think that there are some positive things to being angry for some people? I mean, just kind of taking a little different perspective on this.
Oh, absolutely. I think anger is a very normal, healthy emotion. I've never thought anger, if in fact expressed in a positive, constructive way, I've never thought it's anything but helpful. And I don't think we can navigate life successfully without knowing how to be angry. But as I repeat, in a positive, constructive way. So I think that it's very helpful, and I think that people need to be able to get angry and have their feelings known, but I don't believe they should be picking up guns to do it.
Okay, so what can you give me an example of a healthy way to go about doing that?
Yes, they can sit down with someone and say, you know, I realize I've been thinking about this interaction that we had and I really was kind of upset about it and I need to talk to you about it. Is this a good time? So it's respecting the other person as well as themselves and then to tell them what they're angry about. They can write letters, really angry letters, and not mail them. But writing is a very good channel of release, a release of angry feelings. They can write to people in the government if they're focused on the politics. They can do some, as I said before, do some deep breathing. They can knead, K-N-E-A-D, knead their skin because our skin, like from our knees down or the upper part of our thigh, because our skin is the largest organ we've got and yet we don't use it. And, you know, and if you knead your skin, you all of a sudden feel some energy coming up, some positive energy coming up. And that's a very positive thing to do. I think that people need to ground themselves, to center themselves. Another positive thing to bring themselves down if they're really angry is to put one hand on their belly, one hand on their heart, just to calm themselves down. No one's paying attention to you, so you can get away with that, and no one really knows. In terms of releasing anger, I think one of the best ways of really releasing it is through writing and voice speaking. You know, sit down and say, what am I angry at? How angry am I? What do I need to do with this anger? These are all very positive questions that people can ask themselves. And I think people need to understand also that it's not the anger that gets us in trouble. It's the impulse that precedes the anger.
Oh, definitely.
You know? Yeah, it's the impulse that precedes the anger. It's not the anger. You know, unfortunately, people throw frustration, annoyance, and irritation all in the same bailiwick as anger. And it's frankly just frustration, annoyance, and irritation. What does get us in trouble is if we have, we've all heard people say, I don't know what happened. All of a sudden I know I was just blowing my top.
That's
you
right.
know, but what happened was that impulse that starts at your, it's the sensory way of knowing that we're angry, it starts at our toes and goes all the way up. And if we don't catch it before it hits the limbic system, the reptilian brain, then it rolls over into anger and into behavior that the person's going to be really unhappy about.
Well, I've done several interviews this week on this situation, and one of the things that keeps coming up from a lot of the personalities I've been talking with is, do you think that politics is just kind of a medium kind of thing that everybody understands, but people are actually frustrated about other things, like you mentioned before, whether it's the economy or their relationships
right.
and stuff like that. And so it's just kind of the new hip thing to be angry at. Do you think that's kind of going on now?
Well, I don't think that's what's going on with people who are upset over the Obamacare, because I think they're truly concerned about what their health insurance is going to be about.
Okay, but there's much more going on.
I think that's a real thing, but I do think
yeah.
there might be some camouflage.
Exactly, and you know, because some of the people are talking about, you know, just. Well, we don't know what his he hasn't released his taxes, and so they're upset about that, and they're striking out at people. I mean, I have a lot of people that post, and I get to see a lot of stuff ranting back and forth, and you know, it's very difficult, even you know, for someone like me, to not like feed the fire, so to speak, throw in something
right.
just because I know it's gonna wrangle somebody the wrong way, and they're gonna get upset.
I don't think, you know, I don't know people who are concerned at this point about his taxes. I don't know if that's a real issue or not.
My thought, that it's not.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you there. But I do think there are some real issues out there. You know, people are worried. You know, they're closing all kinds of companies. Ford Company is going to China, even though he said he was keeping it here. So people are concerned about their jobs. And I think those are real issues.
Well, yeah, and those things were happening before he became president. He has slowed them down, but they continue. You're right. So they directed at him instead of the whole mass. And I think that's part of the whole situation. So in some ways, I think maybe, you know, if somebody finds, like you said, they sit down, they write letters, but I think the social media has kind of replaced our letters today. And I think people need to be more versed in how they write those open letters because they're out there for everybody to see. They don't need to just be spewing hatred.
No, they don't. And they need to do it not on social media, because social media doesn't release anything. You need to write longhand.
Well, and that's a problem with, you know, NEA telling us that not to teach our kids to write in cursive. I mean, it's been out for 6 years now. My wife and I were shocked when our kids came home and got this nice letter from them saying, hey, You don't have to learn how to write in cursive anymore. It's no longer required. And I'm sitting back as an adult going, wait a minute. And as a therapist going, you're exactly right. The effort it takes to write that is therapeutic.
Yeah, it does. And it gets the energy moving in your body. I just think it's terrible that they don't have to write cursive anymore. You know, technology has been wonderful. It's been a blessing and a curse.
Yes. Well, I believe we're very, very resilient species. I think we'll work ourselves through this. And talking about that, you know, what about the people who are keeping their anger quiet? Do you think there's some long-term mental health effects that happen to people who hold that inside and never get to express that?
Yes. I think it impacts. They bring all those symptoms to their relationships, to their jobs, you know, that murder that just happened up in San Francisco at UPS. That man,
right.
It was clearly employee rage, so he had a lot of feelings. Worked there for 18 years. He wasn't talking to anybody about him.
Mm-hmm. Definitely not. And, you know, it hurts when that kind of stuff happens. And he internalized it, had no vent, and it just blew
up.
Powder keg.
And it's so sad. It's so sad, you know, because if he could have gone to maybe human resources or something like that. There are some mental health issues out there, and they don't get – people don't pay enough attention to them.
Right, and I think with UPS, I have some friends who work for them, and I believe they have an EAP program, an employee assistance program.
Uh-huh.
So, he could have utilized some of that. But,
yes.
You know, again, it's that stigma of mental health, and that's one of the whole reasons for my radio show and my nonprofit, Mainstream Mental Health, is we got to make mental health mainstream, period.
Yeah, period. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. It's so important.
It is. It is.
You know.
Well, how can our listeners, if they want to look you up or find out what you're doing, if you're writing any new books, how can my listeners find you?
They can go to my website, abrandtherapy.com or mindfulanger.com. I am writing a new book, as a matter of fact. It'll be out in October on mindful aging, you know, because there's so many baby boomers turning 50 on a daily basis. And,
that's right.
You know, how can you age in a way that is purposeful, brings joy to your life, and helps you be relevant instead of, you know, the way a lot of people look at it is like the doorway to hell.
Well, I've never had them say that to me exactly,
room,
but their
say.
Behavior shows that, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. And do you have access, if we go to your website, can we, like, email you or anything else if they have any questions
you
for you?
Yes, you can email me on my website. There's, I think it's called Interest in Services, but people can ask me questions or whatever. They don't have to be from California and expect to see me, but they can definitely email my website and ask me whatever they want.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad, and for everybody listening, that's abrandtherapy.com.
Right.
A-Brand Therapy. So go check out our site, and I really appreciate you coming on today. Again, this is a hot topic. I don't think it's going away anytime soon. And maybe we can get back together when you get your book out.
I'd love that, John. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you. And I hope you have an amazingly marvelous evening.
Thank you. You too. Okay.
All right, everyone. That concludes today's edition of Mainstream Mental Health Radio. Special thanks to our special amazing guest, Dr. Brandt. And to learn more about our show, visit us at mainstreammentalhealth.org. Thanks so much for joining us. See you here next week. And remember, life is what happens while you're making plans, so buckle up.
Thanks for listening to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber. Check us out on social media, Google+, Mainstream Mental Health, Instagram @ Mainstream Mental Health, Twitter @ Mainstream MENTL, and search for Mainstream Mental Health on Facebook. Please tune in every week to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber.